Quat Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
In this coming out of COVID time, how many of you are going to church where your church is half empty? Or you could say it's half full, but where are all the people that used to go to church with you? And what's happening in their lives? Are they watching it on TV or YouTube or wherever? Or are they just not thinking about the Lord and His grace and mercy and how you can trust Him? You know, in the New Testament, it talks about people's lives being changed by the thousands. How did that ever happen in biblical times? And how could it happen today? My guest is Pastor Robert Stovall, and he is the pastor of Hope Vineyard Church in St. Louis. There's a movement he's a part of called Disciple Making Movement. Pastor Stovall, welcome to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich.
Hi, Judy. Thank you so much for the invite.
It's nice to have you here. So in this time of challenge, when it seems like people are falling away from the Lord, what new ideas or ideas have you come across that are making a difference in people becoming Christians?
Well, it's interesting that you would actually even frame it that way. You know, I got involved with disciple-making movements, which we'll talk about here as far as defining in just a minute. But because I saw that my church wasn't growing, that the people weren't necessarily coming, we weren't seeing people, you know, increase in our church and stuff. And so I was just like, okay, Lord, what's a way for us to actually engage with people who aren't coming to our church? And then also thinking about, what about those people who would never darken the door of a church, right? Who would, even if you would invite them, they would still not come to church because of whatever various reasons there might be. And so that's how I got introduced to disciple-making movements. I went to a conference on it in Chicago and heard some really cool stories of what was going on. Also heard some really depressing news about the state of the Western Church, church in the United States, and how we're not actually keeping up with population growth and those types of things. So it was just a very interesting dynamic for me. And we began the process of looking at, what does it mean to make disciples? In reality, to make disciples the way Jesus taught his disciples to do, like in Matthew 9 and in Luke 10, talking about the different ways that he had them make disciples. And so disciple-making movements is a process, a strategy of making disciples that really unleashes the everyday, ordinary disciple to go about and make disciples and continue to make disciples. It's a way that Jesus taught his disciples to do it. And that was part of the reason why, and what you see in the New Testament, the disciples would come and they would make disciples, and then that would then go on and they would go and make disciples and go on and so forth. And so that it had this multiplying effect within the regions that they were a part of. And one of the things that I think is very interesting is you know, in Acts 11, where the church in Antioch was started. The church in Antioch was started by everyday, ordinary disciples. It was not started by an apostle. It was not started by one of the big ones, right? One of the 12 or anything along those lines. They were like, hey, we hear something's going on in Antioch. Let's send Barnabas to find out what's happening there. He gets there and finds out that there's this move of God that's happening through ordinary, everyday people. And then he goes and gets Paul, and of course Antioch becomes the missionary center of launching, you know, church planting movements throughout the Middle East there. And
stuff. Well, you think about ordinary people like us, who aren't pastors, who are listening to this program, and we're going, I'm a little bit afraid, though, to share the gospel. What if I say the wrong thing? But then you think about the disciples. They were uneducated. They were the most unlikely to be the ones to tell people about Jesus because of their background.
Right. Yeah. And it was very interesting. Like, even when they were taken before the Sanhedrin, who were the educated, who would who actually would fit into more like, you know, the pastors and leaders today would be the Sanhedrin and stuff, that what they took notice of wasn't their education. It wasn't their, you know, background. What they took notice of was that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with him. They'd learned what it meant to see the kingdom of God come in power and signs and wonders, but also to simply give away the gospel to other people.
Give away the gospel.
Right.
Unleash ordinary people
exactly.
to be disciples and to disciple others. I love those two phrases that you've shared in this program. So the unqualified parts of the disciples, what are those? Because maybe some people are thinking who are listening, I'm not qualified. What are those unqualified features that the disciples have that we can rest assured that if we have one of those, we can still be disciple makers?
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, it's kind of an interesting thing. The disciples primarily, a large portion of them were blue collar, uneducated, you know, worked hard every day, sweat, blood and tears, as we say. But they were ones who, because they had spent time with Jesus, because Jesus had taught them how to make disciples within 3 years. I mean, we think about that within 3 years, they learn how to make disciples, and they were able to do that. The other thing that I love about the disciples is this reality that there was a wide range of guys there, right? I mean, there were the blue-collar fishermen, and then you had kind of the white-collar Matthew, who's the tax collector. But you also have Simon the Zealot, who would be, you know, wanting to overthrow the government. But then you have Matthew, who's like cooperating with the government as a tax collector. And so just these different political views that were going on, different economic, social standings that they have and stuff. So the disciples that Jesus had, they were very broad in who they were. And I think, you know, partly because Jesus wanted to, like, anybody can do this. This is something that I just want to give it away to people so they can see that happen. And what wound up happening, you know, at the persecution of the church, when the persecution started after Stephen's martyrdom, the church was scattered. And as they scattered, they took what they had and they took it to their neighbors and they took it to their networks of relationships. And as they did that, the gospel spread. And that's what wound up happening again with Antioch. And so, you know, as far as what they don't have, they didn't have any education. They didn't have any background in theology or anything along those lines. They were very, very clear that what they had was that they had spent time with Jesus.
And they had the zeal and fire.
And the zeal
they
and fire.
Had spent time with Jesus. So
right,
if you think you should be afraid of sharing the gospel with others and you should just refer them to your church, come to your church and let your pastor do that, well, we are telling you that is no longer acceptable because Jesus used ordinary people just like you and me.
Yeah.
So, Robert, how do you use the disciple-making method? What's it all about?
Yeah. So, disciple-making movements have been happening for probably the past 30 years in other countries, particularly India and Africa and Southeast Asia. It's where we've seen thousands of people come to Christ in a very short period of time. And in that, what we see happening is one of the main things is gaining this heart of God for lost people. I mean, that's a huge part of it. We really want to see people come to know Jesus. And so having that heart kind of drives everything.
And how do you get that heart?
Well, I mean, you know, that actually comes from spending time with Jesus. I mean, that's where you have, I mean, when we spend time with him is where we actually begin to I don't know even how you would say it, osmosis, if you will. You know, when we hang out with Jesus, we can't not help but love the things he loves. And so that's how we know actually that we are legitimately hanging out with Jesus, is that our attitudes, the way we think, all those things begin to change like him, to be like his attitudes and his thought processes and those types of things.
And so, that's what happened with the disciples. And
exactly.
They spent tons of time with Jesus. They went
exactly.
fishing with him. They ate
yeah.
breakfast with him, and he
yeah.
cooked with them and walked the roads to Damascus and different things with them. And they were right by Jesus' side. And that's how we should be with God's word. Is that what
that's
you're
right.
saying?
Yeah.
Awesome. And hey, if you just joined us, Pastor Robert Stovall is my guest, and he is pastor of Hope Vineyard Church in St. Louis, and we are flying by in our time, Pastor Stovall.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to go to a break right now. Will you join me after the break so that our listeners can learn more about the disciple-making movement?
Most definitely, yes.
All right. Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me for Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. My guest today is Pastor Robert Stovall, and he is the pastor of Hope Vineyard Church in St. Louis. We're talking about the topic, how did Jesus disciple his disciples so they became disciple makers, which started the church growing like wildfire in those days. But how can Christians start the disciple making movement in our time, in such a challenging, chaotic time, so that others can get to know Jesus personally? Pastor Stovall, thanks so much again for joining me after the break.
Again, my privilege. Yes, thank you.
So we talked before the break about ordinary people leading people to Christ. We talked about how can you overcome the fear. And you don't just send them to your pastor to disciple, but it's really up to us ordinary people, isn't it?
It is. It is. And one of the things with the fear, you know, we have a tendency to believe that we need to convince people to receive the gospel, to receive Jesus as our Savior. And one of the ways that Jesus, things that he did as he taught his disciples, again, in Luke 10 and Matthew 9, was he actually taught his disciples to look for people of peace. And these are people really that God has already prepared, that he's been moving on. You know, God is always at work. He's always moving in people's lives. But he has prepared these people. And so he told his disciples to look for people of peace. And then that's the people that you connect with. That's the people you actually share the gospel with.
Okay, so how do you find those people of peace? What are some signs that this person might be peaceful and ready to hear the gospel?
Yeah, so the person of peace, as it describes again in that passage, and we go through a training on what this looks like and everything, but basically a person of peace is someone who will welcome you, and so they're hospitable to you as you are engaging with lost people around you, whether you're doing that, you know, through servant ministry or you're just walking your neighborhood or whatever, but they're people who will welcome you. They're people who will listen to you. And so as you're talking, they'll actually be intrigued or listen to you. And then there are people who will be interested in bringing what you have into their network of relationships, that they would open the door to the community. We call them like gateway people into the community. That's kind of the way they're described in particularly Luke 10. These are people who are hospitable. They're listening to you and they will welcome you into their homes. And then they are the people who are really gateways into that community. And the reason why I even mentioned people of peace when you talk about fear is because we have this tendency to think that we need to share the gospel with everyone, and it's my job to convince them of the gospel and the truth of the gospel. But when we look at it in the context of a person of peace, what I'm actually doing is I'm going about doing ministry and going out, loving on people, however that looks like as far as engaging people. But I'm doing that to look for that person that God has prepared that is ready to hear what I have to say. And again, this whole idea of gospel and the whole idea of discovering what it means to be a follower of Jesus and those types of things. So we're looking for a person of peace. That actually takes a lot of the fear out, because that means I don't have to be telling the gospel to every person. I don't have to be sharing my faith to every person. That I'm just really looking, is there a person here who is interested in listening to what I might have to say as a spiritual person?
So when you find that person, what's the next step?
Then the next step with that would be inviting them to discover what the Bible has to say about life. And so that could be a number of different ways that we would do that. But basically, you're inviting them into what we call a discovery Bible study. And what that would be is that we look at a passage of scripture and we just ask discovery questions about this. We'll read the passage two or three times and then we'll retell it in our own words. And that kind of just soaks it in. Like we get the idea of what is saying in this passage. And then we'll ask, like, what stood out to you in this passage? And we'll kind of explore that. What do we think this passage means? And we'll explore that. And we're allowing them to actually discover what the passage is all about and hear what God is trying to speak to them through the Word of God. This is one of those things that we're like super confident in the power of the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit to actually speak to people. And we're not trying to teach. We're not trying to tell them what they should be believing. They're actually discovering what they're hearing from the Lord. And then part of the discovery Bible study is then how are we going to put this into practice? How are we going to actually obey this? What might God be inviting you to do after looking at this passage? And the reason why we do that is something out of the Great Commission that I was like, is that really there when I started studying the whole disciple-making movements? We read the Great Commission, we talk about the Great Commission, and we think of it in terms of, okay, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And we think, okay, so I need to go, that's evangelism, I need to baptize, that's, you know, bringing them into the church, I need to teach them. And we leave it at teach. And a lot of times we just think, I just need to give them knowledge, I need to tell them about what the Bible says and everything. But what it actually says, what Jesus actually told his disciples to do was to teach them to obey, right? And so how do we actually put it into practice? And so what winds up happening as we find these people of peace and we invite them into a discovery process, this discovery Bible study, they learn, we're teaching them, how do you actually hear what God is inviting you to do out of this passage? And then how do you do that passage? Like, how do you do what God is inviting?
How do you follow up and obey God?
You obey.
Bringing this into practice.
Exactly. And so we're teaching them, how do we actually teach them to obey? So we're wanting to do that, what Jesus actually asked us to do out of the Great Commission. And then part of that whole discovery Bible study is we're also inviting them to take what they are learning and do that same discovery Bible study with their network of relationships, whether it be your family, their work colleagues, or their friends that they have, and that they would go and they would, because we have the discovery Bible study is like seven simple questions that you would ask that anybody can do, everyday, ordinary people can do this discovery Bible study, and they would take it and do it themselves and discover what God is talking in their group, in their network that they're doing that with. And that's one of the ways that we see the gospel, the discipleship go viral, is as it goes into that group. And then there's people who God begins to move in that group and they take it to their network of relationships and so forth and so on.
So just like the disciples had their own social networks, we all have our own social networks that we can do the same with. And I guess it's kind of like social media today that the disciples used.
Yeah, to some degree, that is what is happening is as they're, you know, connecting and moving and those types of things.
Disciple-making movement. Pastor Robert Stovall is my guest. He's the pastor of Hope Vineyard Church in St. Louis. How do people find more out about this disciple-making movement?
Well, we just started a website that we have some information on that that's going on. So disciplestl.com.
DiscipleSTL.com.
Yes.
And that would be good no matter what city or state you live in.
Yes. It will have some information about St. Louis because that's where we're focused, but it will also have just information about disciple-making movements and how you might get some training in doing this and all those different things.
So you train people about how to lead others to Christ?
Yes. Yes. We call it the Habits of a Multiplying Disciple. Hmm. It's a 7-week training, and we go through 7 habits that we would like to develop in our life in order to be a multiplying disciple. And so those habits are to gain God's heart, as I started off, to pray. Disciple-making movements around the world are actually considered prayer movements before they become disciple-making movements. It's a recognition that in order for disciple-making movements to happen, God is going to have to move there. And so prayer, we pray, and then we engage. And so we go out among the lost and engage people. And as we're engaging them, whether it be through ministry to the poor, kind of giving away things or connecting in whatever way, as we're doing that, we're looking for, so we want to find
people of peace.
People of peace. Exactly. We're looking for people of peace. And then with people of peace, we want them to move into discover. And as they discover, then what we found, and again, these habits we've done off of researching disciple-making movements that are around the world. These are kind of the distilled habits of that. And what we discovered is that while these people who don't know Jesus begin a process of discovery and reading the Bible and hearing from the Holy Spirit, although they may not even know that that's what's happening and obeying, that that group of people will come to Christ all around the same time. We see this in the New Testament, right? Acts 16, where the Philippian jailer, his entire family came to Christ, that type of thing. That we find that happening. And then when that happens, we begin to coach that group of people to become a church in and of themselves. So kind of like a house church, but there's a lot of baggage with that. But they would become a church, and then they would begin the multiplying process themselves and learn how do we actually be a multiplying disciple.
God's word comes alive as we read it, as we study it, and as we share it with others.
Yeah.
Miracles happen, and we see that things aren't coincidences. They're miracles.
That's right.
If you think of things as becoming miracles rather than just being coincidences, that gets me excited about sharing my faith with others about what God did. So Pastor Robert Stovall is my guest, and he is the leader for the disciple-making movement here in the greater St. Louis area, but he also knows all about it all across the nation and throughout the world. Can you give us some statistics?
Yeah, so disciple-making movements, again, all around the world, give a couple stories and then I'll give statistics. The disciple-making movements kind of started with a guy by the name of David Watson. He was a missionary to India. There's a big story with that, but he connected with Indian pastor there, Victor John. And in the past 30 years, they have seen over 10 million people come to Christ.
Wow.
Through this, and it keeps multiplying out because of the multiplying factor. Another story was a married couple who were missionaries in India. They, for 6 years, did disciple-making movement process. Within that 6 years, they saw over 300,000 people come to Christ. Just amazing things happen. And so we've seen these movements. They do research for these movements, and there's over 1,000 of these movements happening around the world where the average size of the movement is 73,000 people wow. who've come to Christ, and again, in very short periods of time. Those are also happening in primarily Muslim countries. And so we want to see that happening here in the United States and in Western countries, too. And so that's part of what we're trying to see happen by working with Disciple STL and Disciple Making Movements here.
Wow. Pastor Stovall, this has been so exciting and enlightening, and maybe the way that God is going to use it to start revival throughout the world. Pastor Robert Stovall's been my guest, pastor of Hope Vineyard Church in St. Louis. Again, that website to learn more about disciple making movements.
DiscipleSTL.com.
DiscipleSTL.com. Thanks for joining me, Pastor Stovall.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
I hope this has energized you in your faith. And those two scriptures, Matthew 9 and Luke 10, are the chapters to read in God's Word to get you started to think about how you can be a disciple maker. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. See you next time. Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The Smart Wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Redlich, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of the Bot Radio Network.